Remember, in the meditation, each session of meditation, we need to be awake, aware, and still. For the very beginners, the body cannot be still, but fully awake, because the body is in pain. So we're fidgeting every. But for long after the body is familiar with the sitting still, that the problem occurs. Because we can sit still, and we might believe that we are still the body and the mind is still, no more running, but that is where we fall into the trap of deep in the stagnant. We are not fully awake. That is half-half. And that is very dangerous. That we call it slumbering. We are not fully aware. So remember, in the meditation, it needs to be awake, aware, and still. There is no good if you are still but not aware. Okay, any problem? If you fall into that problem of slumbering, how can we treat it? Do you want to know how to treat it? Yeah? Just aware that I am slumbering. Because we don't know that we are slumbering. That's why we are slumbering. But the minute we said, hey, I'm not fully aware, I am slumbering, and that's you pull your bull, your ox, back to yourself. So awareness, aware. Okay, try it. Because we've been slumbering, because we don't know. We thought that is good. Sit still and the mind is still, but you are deep sleep in there. It's not aware. So that, hey, I've been slumbering, coming back. And that's you be aware. All right? For the first beginners, when you cannot sit still because so much in pain, and sometimes pain here and pain there, and worstly, the mind said, hey, stand up, you silly, it's so painful, right? You can tame the mind. And then after that, you might feel something groaning at the back. Is it? Yeah? Don't worry, because that is only imagination. Nothing drop on your back at all, just only in here. So just try to just tame your mind. And what we call it, tame the bull. All right. I am here. If you have no more questions regarding the meditation, I am here to share with you how we learn and how we apply into our daily life. Because learning Buddhism is for applying it. Buddha doesn't teach us for just listening and putting on the shelves. Because we have only one life. Even you come here, we have a different community outside, but we still live one life, here, at home, and at work. There's no point to listen to here, you feel so nice, so good. We talk the same length of wave. And then when you go back to work, different community, and you feel stress and anxiety. There's no point. We have to apply it, how to live a normal that way. So, do you know which month is our in now? August in Western calendar, isn't it? Yeah. In our calendar, the lunar calendar, it is July. And July is what shall we say, is biggest month in a year. It is, I think somehow it is bigger than the month when Prince Siddhartha was born. He was born in April. But it's a lunar calendar in May, Western calendar, yes. We take the retreat. I am from the Mahayana sect, and Ajahn Brahm is a Theravadan. There's no much difference anyway, apart from the rope. Okay. And some of the precepts for the nuns. We celebrate April from mid-April to mid-July. We call it our retreat, the Sangha retreat. Do you know what Sangha is? Sangha is a community of monks, nuns. Male practitioner, female practitioners. Without you, we cannot form a Sangha. Okay, so the four of us, we live. Meaning that the people who wear the robe and the people who don't wear the robe yet. Okay, so we, in our Mahayana, we have the retreat from mid-April to mid-July, when Ajahn Brahm is different. That's why I am here today. He's still now in his retreat. And we start with the day Buddha was born, so mid-April. And we end with mid-July, which is something like last week, because it's somehow the same mid of August. And when we end that day, we call it the blissful day or the joyful day of the Sangha. And why blissful and why joyful? Because that after 3 months in seclusion, in retreat, and then that is the end, and we can see something. What do we do in that retreat then? You know what we do? We do nothing. Because we hurt our womb. And then by the end, we can see how progress we've been doing. And that's why that's so joyful. After the time we've been so calm, seeing how ugly we are, you know, how we've been like that. And then we can correct. You know, that is correction. Practicing is correcting, dropping the bad habits to the good one. Language is very ambiguous because I don't want to use bad or good because that is a difference. But we have to use to see that is bad to drop and to follow the good one to keep. But by the end, there is no keeping anything anyway. That is the emptiness. Okay, but before we can go to that emptiness, we have to know which one is bad to delete and which one is good to practice. Right? So these 3 months, we practice so hard. And then when the end is so blissful, you will see that. You will feel that way. You know? So that is a blissful day. And that blissful day is more blessing because the whole Sangha, the whole assemblage come together and you lay people, male and female practitioner, we share the joy. And then, because we don't have anything, so you offer us 4 things. You know that? What are they? In our tradition, the lay people offer us 4 things.
Rope.
Rope. Yes, clothes. Yeah, rope. Dana is the whole thing. Dana is offering food.
Shelter.
Yes. Medicine. And that's all we can take. Okay, we don't take any others. And that I think that's the same with the Theravada. Okay, we call it clothes, beddings, food, and medicine. Okay? And for us, if you see how we live, we don't have a bed. Our bed is a bung, what do you call it? You know the box, how the box look like? It is exactly like that, except it's 170 centimeter and 60 centimeter, 60, because we're not supposed to roam. Less than 60 centimeter, okay? And about that high, and we have the lid, and we open the lid, our belonging is in there. And what are the belonging? We are not allowed to have no more than three robes. You know, no more than three robes. I don't know how can we live in winter time. Suppose no winter time. So three robes, and then the rest is books to learn. And we sleep in the front. And that bed is our coffin too. Yeah, we live with that and we die with that. But then with the economy situation, we save it for the successor, for the whoever. So we just die with that body, no bed. Okay? But that's a very blissful day. And that's how people offer. And why you offer? We share. You share the joy with us. And what can we do in return to you? We cannot take things for doing nothing. Yeah? Teaching, chanting, and the feature of Buddhism is after we do everything like that, which is very good, isn't it? If we use the word good and bad, that is a good thing to do. And after that, we transfer the merit to everyone, everywhere. And when we mean everyone, meaning that we the living and we the dead. Okay? We the people who practice, we the people who don't practice yet. You got it? So we transfer like that. And we what we call share. We care and we share. And thus we follow the tradition. I'm talking about Ulambana. Is it the word? Have you heard of that? Oh. Yulang? Yulang? Yep. Yes. In Vietnamese is Yulang as well. So can I tell you the story of that? So in the ancient time, why we have that is a tradition. Because we call it the blissful day. We share and we care, like that. To the dead, to the living. And that is the opportunity for us coming together when the Sangha after the retreat, so blissful, so joyful, and you do with your heart, good heart, we share and we transfer that merit to our ancestors. So that's why Ulambana is translated as the Soul's Day, or Ancestors' Day, or I think Everybody's Day. Right? So in Buddha's time, you heard of Magalan? Have you heard of his story? That's why we take that. Because he is one of the greatest disciples of Buddha, isn't it? What is he good at? He's known, he's a famous ace, very good, magical power. Okay, we, with our modern days, with our modern eyes, put aside his magical power. Because you know how he died? He's been stoned, and he cannot use his magical power. All right. So we see him as a real person, okay? Because Prince Siddhartha is a real person. So he's a real person. He's known as magical power. Someone here might have a good kung fu, you know, but still a human being with a human mind. He has a mother. What is his mother's name? I cannot say in English. Thanh Đề is in Vietnamese. But his mother was known as a devotee, Now we have to listen to the story. As I said, we share the learning and we apply it into our daily life. So we put aside all the words. We just extract the lesson in there. Okay? She's one of the Sangha. She's a female practitioner. She's very devoted. And she's known to bring dana, his offering, isn't it, to the monk. And she helps out in the temple. However, because she did that, and she knew that she did it, and she want to be known that she's a devotee. She claimed that she did that. So, you know what I mean? And when she did that, she's so proud of doing so, and she want to be acknowledged, recognized. Somehow that did not happen. Somehow she saw the difference between her and other people from the monk. They treat her. She sees that is different treatment. So she got it. She got that feeling. She saw hurting. And when she hurt, she resented. And she vowed revenge. So she cooked meat and offered to the monk. That is our story. Okay. So the monk knew about it. And so the monk did not eat and throw the food outside. And that somehow it comes to some veggies, the type of the very smelly veggies, you know. So we are not allowed to eat these onion, these things, stimuli, these things. That is from her food. That's the story said. And when she died, now our Magala, after she died, because he had the powerful, magical and powerful, he could see through all the realms, from the heaven to hell, and to the worldly people. He saw everywhere, she's nowhere, and then when he saw through hell, he saw her in hell, and the bottom of the jail. Okay? And when he saw that, he used his magical power to come to her place. And she's there in the stage of the hungry ghost. She's been so miserable, been tortured, and been so hungry. And he used his magical power to create a bowl of rice. And he gave it to her. And because she's so hungry, so she quickly get that and she hide the bowl of rice and she eat it. Every time she had the spoon of rice in her mouth, what become? It become fire, so she cannot eat it. That's the story we learn, okay? And then so he is a son, he's a very pious to his mother. And now his mother is being tortured like that, hungry like that. Him, an arahat with so much power, but he could not help. So he come to Buddha and he cried. He said, how can I help my mother? She's so hungry. I cannot, because every time I give her the rice, she cannot eat it. So this is Buddha's teaching. When the day, the blissful day, when every Sangha is happy, the community is happy, then we share and we care. And after that, all the Sangha do the chanting, and send that merit to everyone, people who live here and people who die there. So that come to them, and that merit to them, and that can be released of all the suffering. And since then, we follow that tradition, and we believe that if on the blissful day, the end of the retreat, no matter when, in our tradition is the mid of July, which is the mid of August, we all come and we offer to the monk and the nun, and we all share the chanting with the spirit that everyone will got that merit, hence our parents, our ancestors. So you got that? Now we don't talk about the magical power, because I don't believe in the magical power, unless he has kung fu, all right? And where is hell? You tell me. Now we put it, remember the story, and now we put things together. What is the teaching of Buddha? Is that really hell like we used to believe that in this earth? If you dig so deep, there is hell in there, and there is a heaven up there. So if you are good, you go to heaven, and if you are bad, you go to hell. Which is true. If you are good, you go to heaven. If you are bad, you go to hell. But where is heaven and hell? And do you need to wait until you die to go to heaven and to hell? You got the point? Hell is when you live with stress and anxiety. Is it hell? And heaven is when you live with bliss, with joy, isn't it? So we don't need to wait to die to get that punishment. We got the punishment right here and now. So Buddha teach us the caring and the sharing, using now. You got that? And then everything we do now, we go back to why she got the punishment. Who punished her? Herself. Because she got resented. When she did a good thing, she wanted to be known. And when you do the good thing, you want to be known. Is it a good thing anymore? That is a sort of insurance, isn't it? You go and do that, and you want Buddha to know. Does he know? He's not knowing. Right? If we talk about Buddha as Brihadaratha, he already gone 2,550 years ago. Right? But who knows? We know. We know. So do you need to have magical power like our Magala to know that our parents are in hell or are in heaven? We don't need that. And Buddha teaches, the teaching is for us. Now don't worry about parents or ancestors. They're already dead. Okay? What about us here? The learning is for us to practice. Okay. Tell me honestly, do we know that where we are? Do we know? We do. If you don't know, then you don't come here. All right? We know, but because we don't know how to get out of it. Here is the treatment. Buddha is a doctor. He gives us the medicine. We just take it. Sometimes we don't want to take it. That's why we are in and out. We know. We know our suffering. We suffer. Yeah? But because we cheat other people. But the main thing is, who do we cheat? We cheat us. That's why we suffer. So we don't need any magical power whatsoever. We know whether we are living in hell or we are living in heaven. So as parents, so as siblings, so as ancestors. If we read the story of our family, And every family has their, who is our enemy anyway, if we call it enemy. The person next to us, isn't it? Or ourselves. Because if we live with love, now Buddha from the beginning, Buddha teach us the caring and the sharing. And that caring and sharing, what do we call? Compassion, isn't it? Compassion or altruistic, altruism or compassion. We don't use it. What do we live with? We live with love. And what is love? Love. You love this person. Let me tell you something like if this is a very true story about my mother, myself, and my niece. She's a nurse, but from another hospital. So one day, my mother had to be taken to the hospital. So I had to follow her there. So I care for mom. And then, because she's old, she's 93 years old. So we want something out of the book, not in the book. You know, you have the system, you have things, you have to follow that. But I asked for some special for mom. And the nurse refused. Okay, so when the nurse refused, my niece straight away said that nurse is you know what I mean? I said, no, she's doing her job properly. You got me? So she disliked the girl. I said, no, the girl is correct. She does it. We are not lucky. That's all. And my niece said that can be done. Other nurses will do it. I said, okay, but our time, it's not our lucky time. So it's okay, we have to live with that. So you see what I mean? Love is someone who do something for you, for your benefit, then you like the person. And from the like, you love. And from that love, you hold. You got it? And because of that, do we suffer? Love is the origin, the cause of every suffering. Because when you love, you want to be loved. You want to be acknowledged. You want to be seen as a good one. Right? Back to the mothers of Magala. She do a good one because for the love of the temple, for the love of the Sangha. But then she wants to be loved. You got it? So the origin, the cause of our suffering is the love. Because love with condition. When Buddha teach us to care, no condition. You have to care. Right? Because that person needs care, you care. The nurse do a good job, she care. But why you judge her that she's ugly, she's so and so? Because she doesn't do what you want her to do for you. You know? But if on the contrary, if she does what you ask her, oh she's so lovely, she's so friendly, she's a nice girl. Right? So you see how we live like that? We live with judgment. We live with difference, good and bad. And good is something for us. Bad is something against us. So what do we live? We live with the me. And everything for the me, mine. And because if we live like that, then we are like that Magala's mother. And if we are not loved, we expect that, and we cannot get that, then we resent. And do we live in hell? Right here and now. We don't need to go to hell. And don't need any Magala to see that you are in hell and bring food to you. The poor one Buddha teach us is pious. Not only pious, filial piety is children towards parents, the relationship, the good relationship. Not only that, caring for everybody, regardless. Now, when the person suffers, when the person is hungry, he brings that, and why she cannot eat it. We have so many points to learn. Why she cannot eat it? Why every rice turns to be fire? Remember when she sees the bowl, she holds the bowl and like that? Because she fears that other hungry ghost see it. And if they see it, she knew what would happen. Isn't it? So she holds it for only herself. And when you are selfish like that, you cannot get anything. You have to see, to read the lesson with metaphor. And don't say, yeah, if you are selfish, that will turn into fire. You cannot swallow that. Okay? So that's how she cannot. And if you take the lesson of Buddha, what does Buddha said? And why Buddha give us that Magala is known as good in magical power? Because with a person with magical power, he can turn it into rice, isn't it? But why it still cannot? You got the sense in there? It is because she's selfish. So now the teaching of Buddha is you do for everyone. For everyone, and then your mom will get it in there. That is sharing. You cannot give to one person. The good system, sharing. Have you heard of the story of black-nosed Buddha? No? I think we, the lay people, have feeling that you have your own Buddha at home, a statue, you know. And with the statue at home, that is a customs. You bring to the temple, you put your statue next to Buddha, isn't it? So with the feeling that, get the chanting, get all the power from the Buddha, and you bring your Buddha home and to pray and to chant to that Buddha, right? So there is a story of a woman. And that you see it, if you go to India, you will see every holy place. There's so many Buddhas. One middle Buddha, they already put it there. And then every around Buddha, big Buddhas, little Buddha, every Buddha. Right? So this lady, she had her statue, beautiful statue. And that is the Kuan Yin, the female Buddha. And for us, it's a saving and rescuing. So she treasure that Buddha, and then customary she brings to the temple to put her statue next to Buddha. And she does it. So everyone still have the same thinking. You have the same thought. So they bring to. She doesn't like it. She wants her Buddha next to the Buddha. So now somehow people put her and push her Buddha. And then she doesn't want it. She wants to be in the middle. Now she tried to secure her Buddha in the middle. And then every time she comes, she burns incense to the Buddha. She wants to burn to that Buddha. And she doesn't want any other Buddha to get her incense. Okay? Is it similar to everything for me? So now she, when she burned that, she sees that the smoke go everywhere. So that's no good. She wants only her Buddha to receive that smoke, because the smoke is her heart. Okay? So what she does? She will do a tunnel, a chimney. Okay? And all the smoke got to go to the nose of the Buddha. And by the end of the time when she takes her Buddha home, the Buddha had a black nose. You got the meaning?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want everything for you alone, to be known alone, it's just like that. Okay? So the learning of Maggalas, or we call it Ulambana Day. Can we conclude what Buddha teach us? Buddha said, we all, he, after 49 days meditating, he found his real self, the serenity, that bliss. So he declared that he's Buddha. And Buddha is a translation. I think Sanskrit called Buddha as well. But that is not only describing, that is Prince Siddhartha when he got to that enlightenment. But that means that is the state where you reach that bliss. And that is called Buddha. And that's why Buddha, Prince Siddhartha, at that stage, after calling himself Buddha, he said that, I'm Buddha and you are Buddha to be. Because before he was born and until now, everyone was born with that Buddha nature. Okay? So he is a person. Maggala is a person. We are a person. They can do that. We can as well. But why we are not yet? Because our true Buddha nature is cloud, isn't it? On the 15th day of the month, we have the full moon, and that is nature. Every 15th day of the month, you will see the full moon. Why today? I suppose today is the 15th day of the moon. Of why 15th day, and I don't see the moon? Does it mean that the moon is not there? The moon is there, but why we don't see it? Because it's so cloudy. The cloud cover it. Why we are not Buddha yet? We sit with our Buddha nature, but why we are not yet? Because that is covered. That is a cloud. What is that cloud? If you know that cloud, then we can get the wind to blow it away, isn't it? The fact that we are ignorant, we don't know that cloud. And that's why we live always under the cloud. What is that? Buddha already teach us in the story. What is that cloud? Yes?
Desire.
The desire. The desire for what? Yes, for me. We do everything for me, isn't it? So if we know that, if we blow the cloud away, then the serenity appears. We live with the me, the mind, everything we do to serve the me. And that based on what? Think back to the story. Gaining and losing. Isn't it? That's how we live in our daily life. You gain or lose. We live with that. And we always weigh gain to serve the me and lose of the me. And that's why we suffer. So the lesson we learn is Prince Siddhartha, Maggala, whoever can do it, we can. Because we do have the human nature. the Buddha nature, that serenity. But how can we do it? As long as we still hold on tightly to our me, and that's to do for me, and that is mine, how dare you take it away from me, then we are still living in hell. Then we need a Magala to go to hell to help to rescue us. Got it? So slowly, slowly, we learn how to care without hidden agenda. If you care with some agenda, that is not care. And then when you share without that, then we live with our bliss. So meditation is one of the ways to help us to delete these desire and to come back to that one. And as I said, you know where you are, when you are. In a day, we can be in hell for how many times? And in a day, we can be in nirvana so many times. 5 minutes is already bliss. Is it clear? Thank you very much. Any questions? Any questions? If you are so shy to put up questions, I am seen around after, and then you can come individual question. If not, should we transfer the merit?